Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
In Mississippi, with our ever-changing weather, termites and household pests can disrupt your family life and take a toll on your home. Call Family Termite and let us help protect your home. 601-933-1014. Or reach us at www.family-termite.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Tuesday night. It's Tuesday already, and as I understand it, I could be wrong, because I thought that it was the end of this week, and that was wrong, so here we go. But as I understand it, 1 week away from Ole Miss starting training camp. I think it is 1 week away. So that is some good news for you on this Tuesday night. This time next week, we'll be talking about training camp beginning. And if you guys don't know already, if you don't follow the radio show closely, Hey Dad and I have a bit where we refuse to call it fall camp because it does not begin in the fall. August is not fall. It's not fall camp. It's training camp. Fall camp would be in September or October, but anyway, it's just a recurring bit. Anytime Richard or anybody says the phrase fall camp, we immediately correct them to training camp, and we try to get other like media people to be in on the bit with us to call it training camp instead of fall camp. So if you hear that, then that's where that comes from. Anyway, my name is Michael Borky. This is Rebel Report Live. Appreciate you being here. Tonight, we're talking about, well, two things really, but the theme of the night is we are going to officially define success for Ole Miss in 2024. And I'm going to split it up into three categories: what is successful, what is acceptable, and what is a failure. We're going to clearly define it tonight, and I want you guys to hold me to it from when the season is over, when we have the same conversations. You know, was 2024 a success? We'll revert back to very specific win or result criteria that we will clearly define tonight. And also, there was a video that came out that is a really encouraging sign for the Ole Miss wide receiver room. We're talking about both of those things tonight. Of course, your comments as well on this edition of the show. Don't forget, if you're listening in podcast form, to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Double subscribe. I would appreciate that. Like the video. And also leave a comment as well if you're watching after the fact. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. Again, do the double subscribe thing. Wherever you get your podcast, search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Also follow me, social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. We're going to talk about an injury tonight, or really the other side of an injury when it comes to an Ole Miss player, but injuries sometimes, unfortunately, happen to you. You shouldn't have to worry about it, but at times, you know, life comes at us fast, and if you need somebody that will give you the best legal option, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered for personal injury, but also small business and contract disputes as well. Saltillo, Mississippi is where the Gregory Law Firm is located. 662-397-9799 is the phone number, 662-397-9799. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. Again, personal injury, small business, contract disputes. Don't delay. Call DJ today. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report podcast. So, success, failure, and acceptance. So, what is a successful season? What is an acceptable season? And what is a failure of a season? Now, all of these have to come with the caveat that this is assuming relative health, right? It's football. People get hurt all the time. Like, you're never going to go through a season with all 22 being healthy. It's just, so we're talking about relative health. If Jackson Dart, God bless him and knock on wood so this doesn't happen, but if Ole Miss loses Jackson Dart for the season in the first quarter of the Furman game, then this obviously changes rather dramatically. But assuming relative health, what is a successful season? What is an acceptable season? And what is a failure? Let's start with the top, and then we'll work our way down, talk about the positive injury news, and then we will get to your comments. A successful season would be anything beyond the first round of the playoff. So that would mean Ole Miss would either A, get a bye, which would mean that they would have to win the SEC, or B, they obviously get into the playoff and win a playoff game. That, to me, it's very cut and dry. That is a successful season. Anything beyond that is icing, or a cherry on top of the cake, icing on the cake, whatever expression you want to use. To me, championship or bust is a scenario that I will never agree to. I don't think that championship or bust is a fair standard for anyone in sports ever. Now, when it comes to Ole Miss basketball this fall, tournament or bust, I think, is fine. I think it's acceptable. I think that will be the standard in which we should hold that program on this podcast anyway, come basketball season, tournament or bust. Championship or bust is not something that I will ever agree with. There were some people at media days that were like, well, if Ole Miss doesn't, you know, win the SEC, like, is that a good season? It's like, what the hell are you talking about? Yes, you can have a successful season while not winning a championship. You can have a successful season not winning the national championship in the playoff either. However, the only criteria in which I will define Ole Miss's season as truly successful, when you think about the perfect storm that has come. Now, you guys know me. I think that this level of play is sustainable, but this is a little bit unique when you have a four-year starter at quarterback. I know it's only three at Ole Miss, but this will be Jackson Dart's fourth year drawing starts at quarterback, getting the guys that they were able to get back, the continuity on the coaching staff, the number one transfer portal class. There's a lot of things that had to go right to get to this point. Lane Kiffin has been kind of building, and that this program is kind of building to this point. I think that they can get back here, but anything short of getting to the second round of the playoff, considering what has gone into this roster, what this roster is, what they have at the most important position on the field, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, would not be categorized as successful. So either A, they win the SEC and get a bye, or B, they make the playoff and win a playoff game. That is a successful season. The next category, acceptable, something that is totally fine, like all good, acceptable year, still moving forward as a program, but still left a little bit to be desired. An acceptable season would be getting into the playoff. Getting into the playoff and say losing in the first round would be an acceptable result. There would be some disappointment, but it certainly could not be categorized as failure. Getting to the playoff and, say, losing in the first round would be acceptable, but not successful, but not a failure either. And then finally, failure is anything short of a playoff appearance. Barring some bad, unprecedented injury luck, missing the playoff with this roster and this program and this schedule, the way it's currently set up, is a failure. Anything short of a playoff appearance is a failure. So clearly defined three categories for you: successful, getting to the second round or beyond, acceptable, getting into the playoff, failure, anything short of a playoff appearance, 9-3 record, for example, would be a failure, in my opinion. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments, and let's talk about the last thing for you. A very encouraging sign: Juice Wells, the South Carolina transfer, an electric, and that's an understatement, an electric wide receiver, proven at this level, is just such a great addition to the wide receiver core that already features Trey Harris and Jordan Watkins. Posted a video on Instagram. It's making its rounds today. Everybody's seen it by now. Don't know when the video was taken, but it's in Vaught Hemingway, which is noteworthy because there was a point where he was on a scooter. He was hurt last year, did not really play for South Carolina as a result of said injury, but it's just a video clip. It's also in slow motion, but he looks ready. He looks there. Talking about Juice Wells, of course, the South Carolina transfer. Again, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought, losing camera connection, but he looks there. Ready. There's a week until training camp. There's a month until the Furman game, a month and a week until the Furman game. There's almost 2 months until they play meaningful football. So if he's already looking like this with that much longer to get ready for the season, that is an incredibly encouraging sign. I mean, you guys know the way I feel about this wide receiver room already. Just the high level of play in which you get from Trey Harris and Jordan Watkins already. Harris, by the way, which is amazing about Trey Harris's season last year. I keep going back to this, but he had that great year. He had that dominating year, and he was hurt last year, hurt bad. Like that was not a nothing injury that he came back from faster than most people thought that he could. So he wasn't 100%, and that's still what he got from you. And on top of that, he was still acclimating to life in the SEC. Going from Conference USA to SEC is not nothing. Like that, there is a significant jump in competition level on a weekly basis. So he battled injury and made that jump and was still dominant. And then you guys know Jordan Watkins by now as well. Super reliable, great route runner, sure hands, all that. So you've got such a great 1-2 punch. Adding Juice Wells to that makes it a pick-your-poison kind of thing for a defense, because you can't bracket cover one guy because the other two in one-on-one matchups are just going to feast on you. There is some unproven behind those guys in the receiver room. I mean, you've heard so many people talk about Caden Lee and how much the coaching staff loves him. Aiden Williams has the pedigree. Deion Smith is a wild card for sure. They brought in a couple of transfers that have played Division I football before. So, like, your third stringers are guys that have played D1 ball elsewhere and recorded stats elsewhere in Division I. So the room looks really good. There's a lot of unproven in the second and third teamers, but having a fully healthy Juice Wells to start the season paired with what you've got at the tight end position makes Ole Miss's passing attack look so incredibly daunting. And, you know, that's not nothing new to you guys. You already knew that. As Edwards pointing out, he had no idea that Juice was even hurt. So, you know, that this is it's good news that you didn't know you needed today, I guess. But that's a really, really, really good sign, because when healthy, he is just an absolutely electric player. He is a dominating type player that can win games on his own, but so can Trey Harris. I mean, that's why we go back to the defining success for this team, because of a receiver room that features those three guys and what they've done at the SEC level and so on and so on and so forth. So anyway, sorry about the equipment failure. It's just that's how this is going to be until I can afford better equipment. In the meantime, I appreciate you guys being here. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. If you're a Mississippi business and you need tech in the office, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines, cloud storage, data security, everything in between, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also presented in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day with local loan servicing and decision-making. So you don't need to get on Zoom or talk to somebody out of state. If you've got a loan or need a loan or need that loan service, Priority One Bank will sit down with you face-to-face because they make you their priority. All right, we'll get to some of your comments now. This is going to be a shorter edition of the podcast, and I have just about 15 more minutes is all I've got with you guys. I've got a handful of things I've got to do tonight, work-related. I know this is work, but like radio show, super talk, work-related on top of this. So about 15 more minutes with you guys, and let's get in. The clip Juice posted was definitely a good sign. I should have had this pulled up already, just so you guys can get kind of a grasp of how talented Juice Wells is. He's a big guy too, by the way, 6'1", 210. So he's a big bodied receiver, but at South Carolina, let's see if I can get, I wish I could get game by game here at, but anyway, he was at James Madison in 21, caught 1200 yards worth of passes, had 15 touchdowns with a bad South Carolina team in 22. He had 928 yards on 14 yards per reception and 6 touchdowns. Let me see if I can get a game log for that year as well for you guys. Only played in 2 games last year, got hurt, could not play the rest of the season. Let me get this 22 game log up for you. I should have had this already, but I mean, obviously my stuff is barely hanging on. I want to do a watch along for the LSU game with you guys, but I'm afraid that this won't last. I'm afraid this won't last. It's not pulling up for me. Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, Juice hurt. I honestly had no idea. Well, now you know that he was hurt and that he's better. This is Mississippi. Even September isn't the fall season. Yeah, no kidding. I was looking at the weather today. I already showed this to you guys, but no days in the 90s coming up. We are going to get absolutely punished in September with just miserable temperatures as we've had a really, really cool July relative to what we usually get around here. Make the SEC championship game or make it to at least the final eight, possibly final four teams is what you would deem a success. I hear that. Thank you for being here, David. Some of October really isn't either. Man, I've been in a couple of Sanderson Farms championship rounds where I was sweating my you-know-what off, and that happens in October. Acceptable 9-3, 8-4 or worse is failure. So a little disagreement there. I appreciate that. Failure is anything below 10-2, or what if they went 10-2 and got left out of the playoff? It's possible with certain wins and losses. If the rare thing happens where they go 10-2 and miss the playoff, I don't know if that can fall into failure category, even though I said missing the playoff would. I just don't think a 10-win SEC team will. And I don't think you're going to have six teams in the SEC with 10 wins like some people do. I don't foresee that happening. So, a 10-win season at Ole Miss being viewed as a failure. They would miss the playoff in your scenario, though. It is possible, but unlikely. Barring serious injury problems, 9-3 is definitely failure with the roster they have. Lose to Georgia and Arkansas/Florida/Mississippi State, and they probably get left out, depending on what else goes on around them. But that would include a win over Oklahoma and one in Baton Rouge. But, yeah, you still have trauma from 4th and 25. If we lose to Arkansas this year, I'm drop-kicking my TV and sending Walker Jones the bill. Of all the games that Ole Miss is playing this year that I'm most confident in, I think Arkansas is the one that I'm most confident in. SEC games. Still think winning in Baton Rouge is a key step in showing that they have a serious contending program. Not high on LSU. It's a game they should win. Time to break trends. I agree. When it's possible for 9 SEC teams to all finish 10-2, it's not a stretch that 5 do. Not a stretch at all. There's a real chance that 5 SEC teams make the playoff. I think you can guarantee right now that 4 will. Ole Miss has gone above the preseason win total in all 4 years under Kiffin. There's your stat of the day right there. Minimum acceptable is 10 regular season wins and a playoff berth. Successful is winning the conference championship or making the semis. If they have 2 losses going into the Georgia game, it's already over. Yep, 100%. Get Apple to sponsor an episode and give you a new computer. Yeah, you know, here's the thing about sponsors. I am not going to, I'm not going to sell myself short in what I think the value of this podcast is. So I'm not going to give away sponsorships. I think that there's good value here. On the flip side, Apple, they aim a lot higher than what I'm doing here. So I don't think that they do that. Like I say, they cannot lose in Oklahoma. Yep, they cannot lose to Oklahoma. I lost to Oklahoma. If you told me right now, if the football gods came down and said, Michael, Ole Miss is losing to Oklahoma, I'm telling you that they failed. Guys, have you looked at Oklahoma's schedule? I think we've done this already, but have you looked at that thing? Welcome to the league, Brent. This isn't easy, and I mean, the guy that I interviewed for the radio show that covers Oklahoma does radio there as well. He was not like this, but I sense a lot of arrogance that is going to be humbled this season. So Oklahoma opens with Temple, Houston and Tulane in Tennessee, all at home, four straight home games. But Tennessee at Auburn, Texas, South Carolina at Ole Miss, Maine at Missouri, Alabama at LSU. So they'll have a preseason top 15-ish team in Tennessee at home. They have to go to Jordan-Hare. Auburn probably going to be undefeated in that game. They should be anyway. Texas is a championship contender. Ole Miss on the road is a conference championship contender. Missouri on the road is a playoff contender. Alabama, and then Tiger Stadium. There's a better chance that they win six games than 10. Would it be better for 10-2 to have one loss to LSU, Oklahoma, or beat them both and have a random second loss for potential strength of schedule purposes? I think that it would be better to lose in Tiger Stadium than to lose to Arkansas or to lose to Mississippi State. If it's 10-2 with a loss to Georgia and Arkansas, or Georgia and Mississippi State, or Georgia and Kentucky, that is a worse resume to me than Georgia and 7 o'clock at night in Tiger Stadium. Harris, Watkins, Wells, Priestcorn, Lee, Smith, Wright, and Williams send Bentley and Parrish out of the backfield. Who are you going to cover? Nobody. Nobody. That is the best collection of weapons, especially because it's proven, right? This is a proven collection of weapons. I know DK and AJ were on the same team. I understand that. The offense and quarterback play didn't match up there, and DK didn't really stay healthy. Is it right to say that this is the best collection of proven weapons that Ole Miss has ever had? The three wide receivers and what they've put on their resume already, the tight end and what he's put on his resume, the backup tight end and what he's got on his resume, and the sheer number of yards. Let's see. I'm actually going to pull this up because I did this a long time ago. And I got to search this because I did this stat a while ago. Let's see. See if I can find it. Okay. So Jackson, going into 2024, has 27 starts. You've got a wide receiver with 2,400 yards. Another wide receiver with 1,800 yards. Priestcorn's averaged 16 yards per catch. Okay, here's a better stat. Sorry, here's the better stat. This Ole Miss offense, this is without Quinshon Judkins. This Ole Miss offense has 7,691 passing yards, 8,207 rushing yards, and 10,762 receiving yards worth of experience at the FBS level. That's a better stat than the one I was giving you before. 7,700 yards passing, 8,200 yards rushing, and 10,800 yards receiving at the FBS level. That's what this Ole Miss offense has. That is insane when you think about it. Absolutely insane. Losing to anyone not named LSU, Oklahoma, Georgia would be much worse. I agree. You expect Oklahoma to have multiple losses when they travel to Oxford? Oh, yeah. I mean, at least two. At least two. I don't think that Auburn road trip is going to be easy for them either. Hell, I'm not even convinced that Tulane is going to be a cakewalk for them. That at least two by the time they show up to Oxford. Is there a combination of 10-2 that keeps Ole Miss out of the playoff? I don't think there is, unless some other things break against them perfectly. The schedule set up to where you can have a handful of SEC teams at 10-2. There is a scenario in which 10 wins can get them left out of the playoff. It is extremely unlikely, regardless of what the SEC Unfiltered people say. There is precedent for this already that has been set. We have seen the College Football Playoff Committee rank teams already for a decade. We know generally what they're going to do. 10-win Power 4 now conference teams. One time has that happened to an SEC team being left out, and that was a very unique year. It's very unlikely to happen. We have precedent that sets that. And also, the Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist. The strength of schedule that exists in the SEC is far superior than that of everybody else that is not in the SEC. So the benefit of the doubt will be given to the league. How do I know that? Because we've seen it time and time again. You said it for a while. You would love to beat Georgia and Oxford, but if they do, you don't want to see them again for a rematch. No, you don't. You don't. You could see three receivers over 1,000 yards this year and also three backs, pretty darn close. So they had three receivers over 700 last year, almost having three over 800, if I remember correctly. Certainly within the realm of possibility. No doubt. If five or six SEC teams finish 10-2 or better, there's a good likelihood they will miss the playoff. You're coming to the Sanderson Farms tournament this year. Hope to see you. Awesome, man. Yes, I will be there. I'll be there all 4 days, 100%. The South Carolina game. When is that? That's the flex game, right? Isn't the South Carolina game flex where we don't know if it's going to be 2:30 or... Yeah, that's a flex game. So Saturday at the Sanderson, I don't know what that'll look like for me, frankly. But it's a lot of fun, man. Steve Gent and his team do such a good job of putting that tournament on. You can walk right up on the players. All the beer and stuff that you could want. The food options are good. Like it's a laid back. They've got a couple of screens on the course where you could watch football if you want to for a little while. It's I'm just a huge fan of the event. So yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to that. You see people saying Missouri, LSU, and Tennessee will all win 10 games, and you disagree. I disagree, too. Haydad is big on Tennessee this year. Big on the Vols. Two of which have completely and totally unproven quarterbacks. You think that just going to snap their fingers and win 10 games? Nah. Lose to South Carolina or Arkansas, you're hitting the panic button. That's not survivable. I agree. They lose to Oklahoma but go 11-1, you're fine with it? Well, you should be. But my position is I don't think that they are capable of going 11-1 with the loss to Oklahoma. You have Oklahoma going 7-5, and that's generous. Have to break in a completely new offensive line and freshman quarterback, and new offensive coordinator, so on and so forth. Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Missouri, or Tennessee, or LSU, or A&M, or Oklahoma could all be 10-2. When you look at the schedules, there are some favorable ones. I'll bet you my car they all don't, though. The playoff committee tends to punish losses more than reward wins. So far, that appears to be the case. The combo of two losses to Georgia and State is particularly gutting because they will be sitting at 10-1 and closing at home to a bad football team. Yeah, that would be a death blow. They should win that game decisively. Yeah, you don't want the last time the committee sees you to be a loss to a possibly not very good State team. I mean, if Florida is 8-4, and that's one of your two losses, as you're putting out there, That would mean a win over Oklahoma and in Baton Rouge. You'd probably be okay. Those are two late losses, though, is the only problem. Timing's a real thing, man. That would be losing two games in a row at the end of the season. That's tough. State will probably have four or five wins coming into the Egg Bowl, maybe six if they overachieve. If they have six wins coming into the Egg Bowl, then Jeff Lebby's SEC Coach of the Year. That's what I think about that roster, frankly. Florida is going to start hot and then break under the pressure of the schedule. You don't know when Billy gets fired at 6-6, though. I don't think he does. I don't think he does. His buyout is huge. Feels like Scott Strickland's kind of tied to him. The NIL stuff was a mess. He's, you know, I'm not totally convinced. I also think that they have a chance to be better than, you know, 4-8 as some people are projecting them to be. There's a real chance they're 4-0 going into their bye week. Hell, there's a real chance they're 5-0 going into Knoxville. It's Miami at home, Samford, Texas A&M at home, Mississippi State, UCF. Now, I'm not saying I'm picking them to be 5-0, but if they were going into that game at Tennessee, would you be surprised? You shouldn't be. Florida's likely to go 5-7, but we don't know how good they will be. They could be 3-8 or possibly 8-4 for sure. Ten and two doesn't feel like taking the next step, barring a big playoff run to you, kind of feels like they held serve. Yeah, that's why I think that acceptable is a good categorization of that. If they have three backs all over 700 yards this year, they win the Natty. We'll have more passing yards, but you're just saying. And I do wonder, you know, in the games that are not close, or the teams that are not, you know, able to stack up with them, do they stat pad a little bit to try to get Jackson, you know, records and stuff like that? Do they stat pad a little bit to try to get him what he frankly deserves? I don't know. I do have to go, though. I hate to cut this off early, guys. I appreciate you. Just past a half hour, but I do have to run, so sorry about that technical issue earlier. There's nothing I can do at this point, but is what it is. So I appreciate you guys. We'll see you on Thursday night as we get closer and closer to training camp beginning. Thank you. Please like the video and all that good stuff, and I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.